In the name of God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So apparently, you're going to end up with an unplanned sermon series. For the last several weeks, we've actually been talking about the Eucharist. And apparently we're going to continue that today. So we've talked about coming to the rail for not only solace, but strength. We've talked about that this becomes, in a sense, the body and blood of Christ. We've talked about a little bit of the importance of the Eucharist and what that might mean for us. We're going to go a little deeper today. And I'm going to premise this with a story from seminary. One of my friends that was there with us, you've heard me talk about him before, Terry Starr, who we lost in our middle of the year, was a deacon when he came to seminary. Now, he was a Lakota, and he was a deacon at Cannonball. So he served in the church all the time. And as a deacon, part of his responsibility was to actually distribute the host. As you can imagine, living in a Native American society, most of your family and friends are there with you. So every Sunday, when he was at church, he had many, many relatives come to the altar rail. One day, he goes to bend down to his small nephew and give him the host. And as he sits there and bends down and says, "The body of Christ," his aunt says, "Well, you don't need to give him to the host. He doesn't understand what it is." He says, "Okay." Passes her over and goes to the next person. She says, "Why did you pass me over?" He said, "If you think you understand the Eucharist, you're wrong. None of us fully understand the Eucharist. Not priests, not deacons, not lay people. We don't understand the importance of it fully. We understand aspects of it. We understand principles of it. But we cannot fully comprehend the glory of God that is found in the Eucharist. We know some things that it does. We can grasp some of the ideas that it stands for. And yet amidst that, there's one idea that seems to escape many people. It's hinted at in the Old Testament reading, and it's definitely a part of the New Testament epistle. The Eucharist is a contract. The Eucharist is an agreement made between you and God. It is what you choose to do. Is it a free gift? Absolutely. Absolutely. It is absolutely a free gift. But a gift that's never received or accepted is no gift at all. If you don't understand that it's a gift that requires some act on our part, then it's not really a gift. This is our armor of faith. It is what we're given when we agree to this partaking, to this becoming Christ-like. It's one of the reasons that Catholics actually go through and have confession before they take the Eucharist. They want their consciences cleared. Now, that's not true of all Catholics. Some don't realize what they're doing. They just know they have to do it. But when you begin to go deeper in Christianity, when you begin to go deeper in our roots and how we were formed, you begin to see things that you do not see. Many, many people, have one of the little ichthyus fish on the back of their car, do they not? Many people have the little Episcopal shield or some bumper sticker, do they not? Many people wear crosses around their neck. Most of us here do so. And yet, repeatedly, those are the people that I see picking fights. Those are the people that I see being rude. Those are the people that I see driving erratically and cutting people off. And if I am honest, that is at best sometimes the person that I am. So everybody ends up being guilty of this. And yet, we don't focus on what we did, but what we can do. We have made this agreement. We partake of the Eucharist and become a part of God. And God becomes a part of us. It is one of the reasons that St. Francis so famously said, "Preach the gospel at all times and in all places, and when necessary, use words." St. Francis understood very much that what we do in our daily lives and what we are required to do in our daily lives because of what we profess to be matters greatly. When we encounter someone who has a question about our faith, and we say, "Oh, it doesn't matter," we failed. When we encounter someone, and this is a tough one, guys, when we encounter someone that makes us incredibly angry, and we respond in anger, we failed. When we are driving down the road, sometimes after leaving Sunday Eucharist, and cut people off, causing them to rage, we have failed. We have broken that contract that we profess to love so much. We have added into Christ something that was not there. That is not to say that you shouldn't come to the rail unless you're perfect. If that was true, we all might as well be sitting outside getting a suntan. Either or. But there is an importance in the Eucharist that we take for granted. Who here would tell someone next to them, "Oh, they don't need the Eucharist because they don't understand. They don't fully grasp the importance of God." We are not a monarchy. We don't have a king. The best we can do is actually study medieval history and actually understand how some of the serfs acted and everything else. We do have a military, and the military requires an oath when you become part of the military. We have a police force. A police force requires an oath when you become part of the police force. We have first responders, EMTs. There is an oath in that as well. Doctors have an oath. Oaths are taken seriously. We are making an oath. We are choosing who we will serve. And we're choosing how. We are to be ambassadors of Christianity. Oftentimes we're stumbling blocks. Oftentimes we're stumbling blocks. but we don't have to remain stumbling blocks. Over at the rectory up on the wall, years ago, Jen had bought a stencil. And it just has our family name, our last name. It says Pearson. Underneath that, it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I find that interesting. I had one of my fellow classmates tell me, "Well, that's not really pertaining to us." And he's right. It's not. That doesn't pertain to us. That's Old Testament. So we can't necessarily lay claim to that statement. Not in the way that the Old Testament talks about it. Yet that is what we choose to do. I did something this week that I haven't done for a while, and I really enjoyed it, which was I did some of the mowing, got the tractor back in shape, and cut the backyard. And every time I mow, I listen to music. I was listening to music and thinking about the readings for today. And through all the music that I listened to, there was always this aspect that was prevalent in it. We know this without knowing it, right? Group, most of you probably don't know My Chemical Romance. It's a more modern group. They've got a song called The Black Parade. Father Gabig used to call this the theology of everything. The words of the song are, "When I was a young man, my father took me into the city to see a marching band. He said, 'Son, when you grow up, will you lead them? Will you defeat all your demons?' Basically, will you have the grace to lead others to the safety that you found? Will you have the desire to do so? Will you make an oath?" It's echoed in all of our songs, something greater outside of ourselves that we pursue and chase after without knowing what it means. Just knowing that it is something that we need. So when you come to the altar, today of all days, when you come to the altar, and you hold your hands out to receive Christ, bear that in mind. Consider the oath that you are making, the promise that you are both promising to do and entering into as a Christian. Receive the armor that is offered. Understand the responsibility that is required. And choose whom you will serve.